Not just the pure devotee king, but the charge committee population in suburbs of Chicago. And in all the newspapers, there was a plan following, you know, I don't know if it even happened, but they were planning to have an usher make the young kid. And I thought, poor horse. And poor Brahmins. And poor foolish people that are getting behind an arrangement like that. One of the things that, there's too many things that Prabhupada spoke of, why such yajnas were not to be performed in Kali Yuga. One is not qualified priest, and the other is to amass the wealth required for Janma Ashwamedha Yajna is beyond the capacity of Kudala Prabhupada. Not just being grains of gold, so many very expensive facilities. That's not possible. That's not possible. Like when Maharaj Yudhisthira was to, under Krishna's instruction, was to perform some yajnas prior to his installation on the throne, there was a problem. They didn't have that, even then, Pandavas, they didn't have the wealth. But remember that section from the Bhagavatam? Krishna said, there's some gold in the northern provinces. So they were sent to gather the gold, and Prabhupada explained that. It was from a previous yuga where gold was so abundantly available. The brahmanas would eat off of gold plates and then discard them after using them once. Like we might discard a leaf plate or a paper plate or something. We just discarded them. They were given for the yajna. They used them and then discarded them. And, but further comments that nobody touched them because they weren't their property. You know, do something like that and, you know, it's gone in a flash. Just can't put a lock on anything. I've noticed all the windows in Guyana have these steel or iron or whatever it is things over every window because if you don't do it, you know what's going to happen. And even if you do it, somebody don't like figuring out a way to do it. Just leaving piles and piles. But that was the standard. That it wasn't yours, you don't touch it. And people were satisfied, and so they didn't touch it. But the point being, enormous amounts of wealth are necessary for these yajnas to do them properly. But now back to the fifth canto here, even with these enormous arrangements, the brahmanas were saying, you don't need anything. So what's the use of all this elaborate arrangements? We think there is no need for so many arrangements to please your lordship. So now let's go like 180 degrees the other way. We're Krishna bhaktas, or trying to be devotees of Krishna. We would like to please Krishna. And so it's some festival day, or we're looking forward to Ram Navami is coming up, having a nice Ram Navami festival. So someone can say, look, it says right here in the Bhagavatam, there's no need for such a big arrangement in this. Let's just offer some water and a flower and a tulsi leaf. What do you think? No. If that's all you have, fine. But if your capacity is greater, we want to, out of devotion, not out of show, so this is the distinction, not out of pretense or take some pride in making a show of some kind or another. That's not what's needed. But if we have some capacity to do something or something to make a nice arrangement, or go down holy festival, fantastic. Or, like you see, I'm seeing the deities dressed the way that they're dressed. I'm thinking of your love for the book, because you probably inspired. There's a standard. Akadasi, this is the standard. Silver, I mean, I don't know so much about Hindu worship, but from my association with Ramabhadra, I do. Silver and blue, or silver and white. Silver crown. Radha Govinda used to have in his Akadasi attire, was he had a silver crown that went like a sorcerer's cap. Was like, okay, it's kind of so, I'm just guessing, but something like this, something to offer the world in the Odyssey. And there's so many other worlds. I think you really like deity worship. There's so many standards of on different festival days, or even on different days of the week, different colors according to the day of the week. The devotees that know those rules, they make outfits to match the color according to the day of the week, and then they offer new outfits to like augment the ones that exist already for Tuesdays and for Fridays. In the Radha Raman temple in Vrindavan, they have special festivals most of every day of the year, and they have a big whatever you call it, a deity storage room for those different festivals. And everybody looks forward to their favorite festival, or there's festival after festival after festival. So the essence is not those little particular items that you were decorating the deity with. There's a nice picture book that the Radha Raman Temple has put out, largely by the current Goswami, Padmanabha Goswami. Beautiful pictures of Radha Raman showing the different way he's dressed and worshipped during those different festival days. So their deity worship is just a series of grand festivals. But it's not the point here, it's not just those particular offerings that are made, but it's the devotion behind. And it's easy for festivals to become reduced to rituals if there's not bhakti or devotion. Okay. Was it last year that you had the 25th anniversary of these deities? Yes. Was it a nice festival? Devotees came from all over, right? People you probably hadn't even seen before came because they knew it was the 25th anniversary. This year coming in North America, from the United States, the first 40th anniversary, Rukmini Dwarkadish. And then following that, Radha Govinda and the deities in Toronto, the major deities that help us sent to the West for being installed in worship. And having, I mean, I only know about this because Ramabhadra has filled my ear with how excited he is about having a 40th anniversary that he's planning now for next year. And Savas is planning already for LA. But it's not a show, it's substance, it's real devotion. Nice. When it's real devotion, it's nice. And what's really nice is not just how grand it is, but grand may be part of what the exhibition of devotion is. So we want to offer something. Like there was this discussion, what to do on yesterday, what to do on festival days when you have some deities in your home, but there's also a festival in the temple. It should be that while you have deities in your home, principal worship should be at the temple. There's And you can understand that some of the devotees that are managing deity worship or the temple managers are scratching their heads trying to figure it out, and so they're reducing the standard. And it's not good. But what can you do if you don't have manpower to take care of maintaining the standard? We might. It's a comprehensive solution or a comprehensive problem. The preaching is very strong, and you have the devotees who can do the worship. You can't just focus on the worship and neglect the preaching. You just can't just focus on the preaching and neglect the worship. So, one of the points of discussion that has come up is part of the problem is, not the whole picture of the problem, but part of the problem is that some devotees, or many devotees, a number of devotees, have begun deity worship in their home with the idea that makes the home a temple, and they neglected the temple from which they got Krishna consciousness. And so their home worship takes priority over the temple worship. And as a result, the installed deity of the temple isn't getting sufficient attention by persons who really have the quality to do deity worship. Now, the message here is not so much for all of you, because you're here worshiping the deity, and some of the other persons that may not be here, or they're absorbed in something else that's inspiring them instead of the temple that originally brought Krishna consciousness into their life and the deity. But it's not just deity worship. Deity worship is at the center. But you can have sankirtan festivals where the chanting of the holy name and tantric arrangements for chanting of the holy name. But the essence is the chanting of the holy name. The essence is the chanting. Even with deity worship, the essence is the chanting of the holy name. From that comes some of the other things. During the installation of Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, I was there, so I can just describe it a bit firsthand what that experience was like. Srila Prabhupada was very sensitive to the local situation. And the local situation, different than other places, unique to Vrindavan, is there are Goswami families following six Goswamis that established temples. Those Goswamis were married and with children, but they had pujaris who were married. And those pujaris then took on the title of Goswami. That's like in the Vrindavan temple. Gopavata Goswami was not married. I'll just tell the story, it's a very nice story. How the person who became the main worshiper of Gopavata's deities became a grihastha, and that became the Goswami family, in which today Padmanabha Goswami, during Srila Prabhupada's time, Vishwambar Goswami, who was very kind to Srila Prabhupada, very much appreciated him. Vishwambar Goswami helped Prabhupada secure the Radhadamodar rooms, because he had a relationship with the other Goswami family of Radhadamodar temple. He had a room, so he got a room for Prabhupada to stay. Right there in the main corridor. Right next to Rupa Goswami's samadhi. He's the ranger of Vishwambar Goswami. But he's the descendant of the many generations prior, something like 19, 20 generations prior, who worshipped the Radharman deity under the direction of Gopalbhatta Goswami. I'll marry that story quickly. Gopalbhatta Goswami grew up in South India, in Sri Rangam specifically. Sri Rangam is the largest temple in all of India. It's huge. If I have stayed, the temple And his father, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's father, was chief priest in India, Trivandrum. So he had access to all kinds of whatever the rituals were. He knew that. He learned it as a young boy. But very common in such practices, worship of Shalagram, along with the main deity, you have an Utsav Murti, festival deity that goes out into the public on the talent in different ways. And then there's also Shalagram. So when you worship the deity, you worship through Shalagram, and that way you worship the deity. It's the meditation of the Pujari, because the Shalagram is Narayan. If you're worshiping Ranganath and Sri Rangam, that's Narayan. Or the expansion of Narayan is Lord Vishnu. So, when Gopal Bhatta Goswami, with the permission of his parents, much in the later years of their life, he went to Vrindavan, went to Shelter under Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, because he's now in the northern part of India, he had this long cherished desire to go directly to the Gandaki River, where there are Shalagram Shilas in the river, the riverbed, and gather them. It's a very shallow river. I've not been there, but I've heard it's very difficult to get there. Very remote, but very serene and very sacred. And he was going to gather some Shilas for his personal worship. So on the way, he stopped in one place where there was a Brahmana. The Brahmana was very glad to receive Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Treated him with great honor and respect, and he spent the evening and the morning when Gopal Bhatta was trying to continue his journey to the Gandaki River. The Brahmana said, "There is one request I have of you. Please give your blessings that I may have a son, because thus far I've been unable to have any offspring." So Gopal Bhatta said, "You're very sincere, Brahma. I'm sure that Krishna will bless you and you will have a son." And he said, the Brahma then said to Gopal Bhatta, "If that happens, then I will see that my first son becomes your servant. If you will simply engage in his mere personal service, whatever you would like." And he left. And he went to gather the Shilas from the Gandaki River. And he put them in a little basket. Some 10 or 11, some number. And then he started descending down back to Vrindavan. And he was feeling, as he was going, because he was humble, "I'm not qualified. How can I do this? Gather Lord Narayan in the basket and take him back to my home to worship." He became overwhelmed with feelings of humility, so he went back to the river and started putting the Shilas back in the river. And they jumped back in his basket. And wanted to worship Bhatta. So he surrendered. 7 years later, many years later, after the incident of one of the Shilas self-manifesting as Radha Raman, because Gopal Bhatta very much desired to have a form of the Lord that he could worship and decorate with ornaments and clothing and jewelry, and so forth, as his Goswami brothers, Rupa and Sanatana and others, were doing. It's not in competition, but just as an extra way of extending worship. So that he took rest one night, thinking that thought, and the next morning, after coming back from his morning bath, there was Radha Ramana, self-manifested deity. I've not seen it, but other ISKCON devotees have seen it. The Pujaris have shown the form of Radha Raman. They turn him backwards. And from the backside, you can see the shamadra from which he came. Round portion in his back. And just manifested his form is rather remarkable. Thank you. Such is the devotion of Gopal Bhatta. Not worthy of it. Sometime later, one young Brahmin came to his ashram and said, "I've come here to serve you." "What is your name?" He gave his name. Charitable's name was Shamdas. "Well, where have you come from?" He said, "My father sent me here. When you were going to the Gandaki River, you gave your blessings to my father that he would have a son. And then after that, I was born. And when I became mature of age, my father sent me to come serve." The Brahmin kept his word, and the son was accepted by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he married, and it's his children that then became the Goswamis of Vrindavan. But they carried the same devotion as their predecessors, fortunately, because it just has been maintained. And it's very easy to not maintain something. Once it started, it's very easy. Compared to maintaining something, it's much easier to create something. It's much more difficult to maintain something. It's like these days, they've been through difficult times. It started off fantastic, and then diminished. I remember seeing them when they first came on the altar. Do you remember? They were lavish. They weren't shining like this. They weren't maintained nicely. Without elaborating, not just easy, it's a principle to maintain a high standard of devotional practice. Whether it's our own sadhana, or our enthusiasm for studying Prabhupada's books, or worship of the deity, or conducting festivals, it's one thing to have like, "Yeah, let's do it," and it's very enthusiastic. And then to maintain it over time, it takes deeper, it takes genuine devotion to do it. So, what's pleasing to Krishna is our genuine devotion. However simple. If it's within your means, make it very nice. We always want to make it very nice. But elaborate isn't equal to devotion. It's devotion that's equal to devotion. Whatever it is, whatever your capacity is. What qualifications do I have highest devotion, it doesn't diminish it. That's the test. Krishna's at the center, and more devotion, more devotional effort. If I'm so tiny, insignificant, and unqualified, but Krishna's very merciful, then I really have a great opportunity. He's providing me the opportunity to serve him. Let's try to serve him. We extend ourselves with a kind of enthusiasm that's not primitive, it's not prideful, it's not contaminated, it's simply an expression of devotion. And that's satisfying. And the other is not satisfying. The other is bring satisfaction to the heart, making a big show of oneself, and so on and so on. It's never satisfying. It never will be satisfying. It never has been satisfying. Nina Masamasi, that phrase is here in the Bhagavatam. Like a refrain, again and again, where the first one is where devotional service is without motivation, a high tukhi. And what can't be checked or stopped by anything, a fatiyata. So, motivation, hatred is the Sanskrit word. Hatred means cause. Like in the material plane, there's cause and effect. So like laws of physics. An object at rest has a tendency to stay at rest. So you push. As long as the law, the principle of gravity is greater, the amount of weight of the object is greater, the effort that we're applying this way, it's not going to move. But so there's cause, and if it moves, then there's an effect. You apply an effect, there's cause and effect. Anyway, this law of nature. Anything with this material world has its cause and effect. And any effect is the cause of some higher cause. Any effect is the result of some higher cause. And that higher cause is the effect of some higher cause. Krishna is the cause of all causes. So, what's that situation where there's no cause? Like, you know, to do something without any cause. We don't know such a thing in this world. Who does something without some cause or purpose? You know, just like vegetate or the inert. If there's no reason to do something. So, but because we're soul, we have desires, there's always cause. But to say causeless is devotional service. It's not for something for me, but for the Supreme, that's without material motivation. And our situation is we're motivated, we're materially motivated to achieve something for ourselves. But when the satisfaction is there, it arises in the heart because I don't want something. I just simply want to serve. I want your pleasure. The pleasure of the beloved is the desire of a lover. Let the beloved be pleased. That's unmotivated. And when that condition exists, there's nothing, there's no material obstacle that can check it. Even if it, like taking Prabhupada's example, in trying to spread Krishna consciousness when he came to America, even if it didn't happen, he was satisfied. Because he was carrying out the order of the spiritual master. Even if it didn't happen, he was satisfied. Because the result, that's up to Krishna. From our side, we serve. So there's nothing that can stop it. You can't stop the boastful service that's pure. You can't stop it. Haridas Thakur told that to the cousin. The cousin was going to punish him for chanting your scripture, the Quran. Just keep the Sabbath one up. Please do that, because otherwise we'll have to punish you. He was making these signs as a sane person. He just said, please, cooperate. Raghash Thakur said, if there's some fault in a Hindu becoming a Muslim, then you should punish me accordingly as a Muslim who's become a Hindu. Whatever the fault is, you're the qazi, you're the representative of the king. The king has every right to punish his citizens, so you decide. And if you feel that I'm at fault, I suggest you punish me accordingly. As a Hindu who becomes a Muslim, how would you punish them? But if you decide that you want to punish me, I can tell you this. You could, the punishment could be cut my body into little pieces, and I still won't stop chanting the holy name, because it's coming from the soul, not coming from the body. I can't. I'm compelled to chant Krishna's name. The punishment is your body. But the sea is fit. That's nothing can deter a patniyata, a hoipati, a patniyata. When that condition exists, yin that monster proceeds. And, my dear devotees, we all want to be superseded. We all want to be happy. Not just peaceful, neutral. We want to be happy. We want to be happy. Natural, because it's natural for the soul to be happy. And that natural happiness is when there is unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service. Then we're happy. More than happy. Supra-sana. Spiritually, very happy. And when you're very, very happy like that, what disturbs you? It can be like this or pretty like that, or somewhere in between, a combination to keep changing. It doesn't disturb you, because your happiness is from within. That's the Bhagavatam's message. And back to the description here, when making offerings to the Supreme Lord, whether it's a yajna or japa or speaking to the public about Krishna consciousness, or that's what we're doing right now, what's important for Krishna's peace? And doesn't matter whether the audience or the speaker, that the satisfaction is that Krishna should be pleased. That we participate in such a way that Krishna's pleased. That's bhakti. And it's bhakti that attracts Krishna. So, back to the story. The priests are saying, we don't have bhakti. We may be big religions, but we don't have bhakti. And so, what's the use? It's really humble. And by that humility, the Lord is attracted and pleased. Okay. Any discussion? Questions from the first this morning? Or whatever you'd like to ask to know? Yeah. They stay home and do their worship at home for what reason?
They see that sometimes that can work along with that charity or some bullies that are not from the national
government. So your question is what to do or what to say to those persons? Well, I know what Prabhupada said to such persons. And Prabhupada said to such persons, you say that you love me, but you have a problem with some of the members of this society. I say, do you love them? Love them. So, you know, but it depends on the person, whether that's going to be effective or not, but that's what Prabhupada said. If there's a problem, be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And part of the solution is through devotion. And, you know, at least in circumstances. Because I'm thinking of people that have such a situation where it's difficult for them. I don't know, I'm not thinking of here, I'm thinking of other places where it's difficult for them. Still, they should lose the service. They may do more service at home than they would otherwise. And, you know, the concern should be brought to the attention of those individuals who they have a problem with. And depend on Krishna to bring a resolution. I've seen situations where it's genuinely been oppressive, abrasive, oppressive leadership. And of course, at times, Krishna makes an arrangement. So we move to someone else's. And in one way, it's like a reasonable person. Krishna makes an arrangement to do what's done. So in that instant, what to do? The deity is not serving the person, they're serving the deity. Let the deity please. That's how one should think, and that our founders are very pleased by persons who are genuine, sincere, quality devotees, serve the deity and serve his mission and make the situation better rather than be part of the problem. Trusting that Krishna makes an arrangement. Thank you for asking that question. Anyone else? Yes, two questions. Turn the volume up because the